ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, text 30. Apichit sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyagvyavasito hisaha apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyagvyavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Purport. The word sudaracharaha used in this verse is very significant, and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body or abiding by the rules of society and state, certainly there are different activities, even for the devotees, in connection with the conditional life, and such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness, or the devotional service of the Lord, has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position and they are technically called devotional service. Now in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another, but then again sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord being situated within his heart purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. Which verse is that? Any idea? I'm not sure what that is either. There is the, not exactly that, the Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujam Hara, this verse, says that even if you fall down in the course of performing your activities, if you're engaged in devotional service, you don't lose. Oh, there's also the, what is that, Mukunda Sevyanyavad, how does that verse begin? Mukunda Sevyanyavadanga Sangsritim, but it yeah, says that even if a devotee falls, Nabai Jano Jatu Katanchana Vrajin Mukunda Sevyanyavadanga Sangsri. This verse. It says even if a devotee falls, then he's not like a materialist because he can't forget Krishna. He'll come back again. But this exactly, the Lord purifies him within his heart and excuses him from that abomination. I'm not sure. You want to try and find that out? Jai Nityanand, report back to us. Research project for you. Maybe 11th canto. Maybe the. I haven't read the 11th canto as much as previous cantos because it came out later. lot of important instruction. They're very, very important. 11th canto. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path, for, as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is found to have fallen. The word sadhureva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavyaha is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. In the Nrisimha Purana, the following statement is given. Bhagavati Chaharavananya Chaita Brisha Malino Pivirajate Manushaha Nahi Shasha Kalusha Chabhi Kadachit Timera Parabhavatam Upaiti Chandraha. The meaning is that if one fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities. These activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. Srila Prabhupada refers to an accidental fall down, which means that someone is not devotee, is practicing devotional service, trying to become purified. But circumstantially finds himself in a position whereby he comes in contact with the material energy in such a way that his mind is taken away. He's not strong enough to resist. Therefore, we have directions for neophyte devotees, or devotees are not fully perfect. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. One should perform activities that are conducive for the progressive development of devotional service, and one should give up activities that will impede one's advancement in devotional service. So, for instance, a devotee does not go to a place where materialistic people are engaging in lusty activities. He doesn't go to we have in the modern age pornography shops, or on the internet there are websites. A devotee doesn't go to such places, but without consciously avoiding such things. But it may be as in the case of Ajamil, he didn't have an intention to see a Shudra and a Shudrani engaged in lusty activities. But circumstantially, when he was engaged in the most pious activity of collecting flowers in the forest for worship, he came across that, and that stirred up some dormant desire in his heart, and his intelligence became, even by his intelligence, he tried to control his mind, but he found himself unable to do so. Of course, he went throughout the rest of his life performing wrong activities. It seems he became very much overcome, because we might expect that someone... No, the exposure to that was accidental, but then he went on and contemplated bringing... He thought about that prostitute and then brought her to his home. He didn't have the good sense to push that out of, or fail to act on it. He could have submitted himself to his father and said, "This is the situation. What should I do? Please protect me." But he didn't, and he fell down. So it was accidental that he came into such a situation. But the result should be kshipram bhavati dharmatma. He should become, that's the first line of the next verse, he should become purified, he should recognize his mistake and rectify. Not that one should go on forever and pretend to be a devotee and at the same time perform sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada explains here that even a devotee has conditional activities and constitutional activities. Constitutional activities, that means activities of the soul, that is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, devotional service. And conditional activities, eating, sleeping, brushing the teeth, it's also mentioned, cleaning the teeth is also mentioned in Vaishnava Shastra. Devotees should do this. But that's not on the same level as chanting the holy names of the Lord. But a devotee should do it as one is in this world. And that is expanded to activities of how a Vaishnava Grihastha should act. Many of the activities are the same as for a Vaishnava Grihastha as for a non-Vaishnava Grihastha in the Varnashram system. They're activities which help to keep the body healthy and the mind sound for executing dharma. So this Varnashram system that is meant for regulating people so that they don't engage in conditional activities in a sinful manner. One should rise early. That is one of the all followers of Vedic culture. They have to rise early. And they should engage in religious or spiritual activities. Religious here distinguished from spiritual. Religious means that which is described in Shastra, but it is preferred, maybe worshipping some demigod or whatever, but with the idea of getting some material gain for doing so. And spiritual means to act in one's constitutional position. So actually, if one acts in the constitutional position, then the conditional activities, they also become spiritualized, because Krishnarthe akhila cheshta. All activities are performed for the sake of Krishna. So even one's bodily activities, because one is doing so to maintain the body for the service of Krishna, then that becomes part of devotional service. But it's not part of the swaroop, that it's marginal. The tatashta, the activities which are performed for the sake of the body and for society, such as marrying, producing children, they are devotional service in as much as they are performed within the overall framework of a life dedicated to Krishna. That's why I have some objection when we find people are brought to devotional service, or they're preached to, and they're told that your studies are your devotional service, or your career is your devotional service. That could be true if one is very clearly focused that I have to serve Krishna. This is the only goal of my life, and this is the best way to do it. I'm prepared to do anything else, but because it is ascertained that this is the best possible thing I could do, therefore I'm doing it. If that is ascertained, then one's studies could be one's devotional service. But when all that is not made very clear, and it dovetails people's material desires, that you can have a career and be successful in this world, and it's your devotional service, because then if people come, others will see, oh, he's a material success and a devotee, so I can be a material success and a devotee. And in this way we create generations of mundanely motivated people, and it's not differentiated from pure devotional service, anya abhilashita shunyam, in which there is the deliberate, conscious program to become free from all material desires. So in this way it confuses what is actually spiritual, which means doing everything for Krishna's pleasure with no idea of what is my own personal pleasure. It all gets mixed up. Well, if I do this, it's good for preaching, but preaching what? Preaching that, and many people may come, but many materially motivated people are also confused in the same way. So these points should be understood. We can serve Krishna in various ways, but they're constitutional and conditional. And there is dovetailing. Dovetailing our material activities. That is at various levels. Various levels means if we're good in cooking, then we can cook for Krishna. That we can be engaged in that way. But still the attitude should be inculcated. That the cooking for Krishna, but this is for Krishna. It's not just because you like to do it. It may be somewhere, well, I like to do this, therefore I'll do it for Krishna. And there's a difference between, let me do whatever is required of me for Krishna's pleasure, and I like to do this, okay, I'll do it for Krishna. There's a significant difference in the outlook. So this varnashram system is meant for engaging people according to their psychophysical propensities, because in this material world it is madartaya kalyacheshta. We do everything for myself. That's the basic outlook, and that can be expanded to atogri akshetra sutabdavita. I do it for the sake of my family, friends, country, increasing my bank balance, and so on. But at the center, why do I love my wife? Because she's my wife. Not particularly because there's anything unique about her, but because she's in relationship to me, therefore I feel I have to work hard for her. And my children, why is someone so dedicated to these children? Because they're his children. Otherwise there are so many children wandering around here and there, because in relationship to him, under the illusion that this body is myself, and dehapatya, that literally means what has fallen from my body. That is that my children. So because of the bodily concept of life, we feel very close to them. We feel that relationship. So varnashram system is meant for purifying that. One is meant to act as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, and Stri is another category. So one is engaged according to the present matrix that one has received under the modes of material nature, the gross body and the subtle body, but so that is defined according to our bodily position, but the Varnashram system Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his assessment of the Varnashram system, that even to work within the Varnashram system for the pleasure of Vishnu, it's a good start. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bahya, this is external. But that Ramananda Rai quoted it from Shastra, not just from Shastra, from Vishnu Purana, which in the categorization of Puranas is the next, it's right there. Well, it's not on the level of Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's completely Vaishnava Shastra. Even Padma Purana has all different things mixed in it. But it's there, so all right, that's acceptable at some level. But the real purification comes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that sthane stita shurigatang tanuvamanova, that one should stay in one's position, that means within Varnashram. One should be fixed in a Varnashram position and hear about Krishna from self-realized persons. So the Varnashram system steadies one in one's in one's social position. Otherwise, it's very disturbing if you don't have a fixed income, fixed place of residence, fixed identity, material identity. You know what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing. You may lose your, in modern life, you may get a job and then lose your job, but the barber in the village doesn't lose his job. The potter in the village doesn't lose it. There's no question of that. So it's very secure. That security in itself can be dulling, stultifying for spiritual advancement. But then one should hear. One should not simply be settled in some position, but one should hear. Particularly, one should hear about Krishna. But we find that the Indian culture, even in this Kali Yuga, that's, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that's recognized by people throughout the world, that India is a great place of spiritual life, because even though they had a good setup from this Varnashram system, was a unique system for regulating human society, but because that culture is there of hearing from knowledgeable persons, then the whole culture is spiritual. And Tejas Prabhu noted from his years in the, that must have been in the 1960s in India, in rural Andhra Pradesh, and he traveled in other places also, how pretty much everyone was, they like to discuss about spiritual things. And it used to be like that also. On long train journeys, people like to discuss about all these, all their wrong ideas, no doubt, but they like that. This Harvey Cox was a Christian professor of religion or something like this at Harvard University. He passed away now. He was appreciative of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's movement. He was in the 1970s, he gave appreciations of Srila Prabhupada's movement when it came under attack from inimical elements. So he himself noted when he visited Vrindavan at one point, I think this was before ISKCON was established there, and which was quite unusual because hardly anyone in the West had ever heard of Vrindavan until Prabhupada went there. And he noted that, well, most people there, they seem very happy to sit and have a discussion about God. And they'll go on and they won't go away. Whereas in the West, it's difficult to find anyone, and then they don't have time. Even if they want to, they don't have time. They have to rush off here and there. And in a very open way, whereas generally in the West, people are very dogmatic, but they're willing. Of course, mostly people who go to Vrindavan, they're mostly retired people who go for that very purpose and who do have time for this. Well, again, of course, many people have a very regulated life in Vrindavan. They get up and they go to this temple and, their whole day is very busy with different activities. 2 hours kirtan and 2 hours studying Bhagavata. But anyway, he he found that, and that must have been the 1960s or early 1970s also, maybe 90. So there was a very spiritual atmosphere. So this Varnashram organization is to keep people in socially a very steady situation, and also that also people are engaged according to their psychophysical propensity, because it's difficult if we're not. If Arjuna, if he had been raised as a gardener, he wouldn't have been satisfied. Karna also didn't feel... In Gita we find the... And throughout Mahabharata we find Arjuna refers to Karna as Sutaputra, the son of a charioteer. And he hated to hear that. Not only from a prestige issue, but he's much more than a charioteer. He's a rati, and not a sarati. He's the one on the chariot, not the one who's being driven. More than a rati, he's maharati, and more. So people have to be put in their proper situation. Then they'll be happy. We find, of course, nowadays we find no one's happy in doing anything. Even previously, we'd think that the carpenter would be happy to do that, but nowadays they just get the worst nails they can, bang them in sideways, and as long as no one's checking, they'll do the most rotten job, and they make a chair. Well, nowadays they don't make chairs because they're so plastic made, but if you make a chair, then you sit on it and immediately it collapses, or no one's taking pleasure in their work because it's just money motive. Get the job done as quickly as possible, take the money and go. So this attitude is there. But otherwise, we find that people like to make it nice. They make a chair and make some nice design. There's no functional purpose for the design, but it looks nicer. In Bangladesh, when I was staying there, it was mostly these cycle rickshaws. So the rickshaw will be made, and then before it's commissioned, before they start to use it, on the back would be painted something like hypothecated to such and such a bank in Bengali. And some painting would be there. It's required. There's a painting on the back. It costs some money to put it. It doesn't add anything to the functionality of the rickshaw. It'd be a painting of mostly village scenes, because all the people from the village and they come to the city to work. And then gradually I was staying there, and then gradually they started to introduce someone with a gun shooting someone else. They come to the city and then they have the movies and this and that. But that sense of aestheticism, but nowadays everything's just functional. Buildings are just straight up blocks, and these plastic chairs which are produced, they're just completely functional, and there's nothing pleasing there, only functional. We're just functioning beings. We function to make money and enjoy our senses. So the Varnashram system is meant for cultivating higher sentiments, and Krishna consciousness is really the culmination of that, because all art, all science, all idang hipungsas tapasas shutasya vasrishtasya suktasya cha buddhidatta yoho. What's the next line? Kavibhya nirupito yahdutama shloka gunanavarna. What's the next, beginning of the third line? Everyone's lost, they're all as dull-headed as me. Yata guru tata shisha. Sorry. Anyway, you can look it up in the Veda base. Kavibhya nirupita. Avichutartho kavibhya nirupita. That's the important word. It should be avichuta artha. Everything for all this studies, recitation of mantras, science, art, everything should be for the sake of achuta, or should all be done for the sake of Krishna. So that's the ultimate manifestation of Varnashram Dharma, that it to channel, it's process by channeling our constitution, our conditional activities, into our constitutional activities. And also because that helps us to fall down into sinful life. Prabhupada writes here, devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. Declaration of war. War is a very heavy thing. I don't think any of us here have experience of being in a war situation. Anyone? I was in Northern Ireland it wasn't really a full-fledged civil war, but bombs going off here and there and all kinds of. You drive through a town and the town's not, mostly not there. All the buildings are blown to pieces. One evening we came into Belfast, the capital, and we drove around and we thought we'll do book distribution tomorrow morning in front of Woolworths, one major department store. We came back the next morning, there was no Woolworths. There was just some smoke. So that kind of, then distributing books and there's this big boom. I say, what was that? A bomb. Just people are used to that. So like that, but not full-fledged war situation. Were you in?
Yeah.
You were in the war. It was like any time people could come and just shoot everyone dead in the village. How come you were too young, were you, for the...
Oh, no, it was
93. Somehow you weren't in it. Yeah, it could have come to you. You weren't directly in it. Like some of our in Sarajevo, they were really... Sarajevo was one of the worst places for years. It went on and on. Some places they just came in and devastated it, but Sarajevo went on and on and on. People couldn't even... They couldn't go out to... Yeah, if there was food, to go and get it means you've got a 50% chance of coming back. Because there are snipers on the hills, and they just shoot people indiscriminately. So it's a very, very heavy thing. Being in a war situation, and you've got to be fully attentive because the enemy is out to kill you all the time. And the enemy has all, they're not just walking up in front of you and giving you a chance to run away. In the modern wars, it's mostly killing people by stealth and deceit. So you have to be always conscious that whatever I'm doing, it's dangerous, even to switch on the ignition of your... Nowadays they press it. But that's a common thing. They put a bomb and they link it up to the starter system of the car, so you turn your car on and the whole car is blown to pieces. That's usually special people. They don't... Special people who they want to kill, not ordinary people. Ordinary people, they just throw some Molotov cocktails or grenades or something like that. But if they want some specific target, that's... They do that with it. So everything's dangerous. And you're in a situation, and you're out to destroy the enemy, and they're out to destroy you. And it's not a game of chess, it's for real. And it's there every moment, 24 hours a day. So, declaration of war against Maya, that means we have to be completely intense. We have this. Term Tivrina Bhakti Yogena, Tivra Bhakti, completely intense. That's the only way to do it. Otherwise, if we become in Varnashram and we become content, or even not Varnashram, the materialistic life as it goes on, and we think, well, yeah, I'm doing a little devotional service here and there, and Krishna's very kind, but Krishna's says here through his representative, Srila Prabhupada, that devotional service is like declaring war on the illusory energy. We're not going to make it. If we think that, well, okay, yeah, I'll do little enjoyment here and there, and little bhakti here and there, and haribo. It's not going to work. To get out of Maya is not very... We hear about the prachetas. I've just said they they're in the water doing austerities for thousands of years. Of course, in this age, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, but that has to be with a full attitude of complete surrender to Krishna. That is developed by chanting Hare Krishna, but even that attitude only develops if we specifically try to develop that attitude. Otherwise, we can, if we chant in association of people who don't have that attitude or try to inculcate in us a different attitude, then the attitude of pure devotional service will not arise. And therefore we find that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially was preaching in a very condemnatory manner about who? About people who are chanting Hare Krishna. About people who are Vaishnavas. He was blaming them. And they were saying he's offensive. But he was like, no, your devotional service, which you think, you read the descriptions about pure devotional service being transcendental, that's not you. You're off course. You're misleading people. Because they'd made some compromise with the material energy. That then is not war. As soon as there's compromise, if we make truce with Maya, that means we accepted our defeat, actually. Just like the Americans in Vietnam, they made a truce and they withdrew. That means they were defeated. They were unable to be successful, and then the Viet Cong just swept over South Vietnam in a short time and took it, which was the Americans' intent in being there, to keep the North Vietnamese out of South Vietnam. So they made a peace. But the peace means the object for which they had gone there was, they'd admitted they can't fulfill it. They withdrew, and then what, the communists came in and took over the whole of Vietnam. And anyway, later on they just gave up communism shortly after that. But in terms of the military endeavor, it was a defeat. Truce or compromise is a defeat. It's the same with Maya. If we make a truce with those who are more powerful than us, it's always on the terms and conditions of those who are more powerful. They don't have any need to make a truce. It's the one who is losing they have to make a truce. So we're not more powerful than Maya. So either we defeat or we're defeated. And of course we're always defeated because Maya is more powerful. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then we can be successful. But taking shelter of Krishna means to take shelter of Him in the manner that He prescribes. It's also possible to imagine that we're taking shelter of Krishna when we're actually taking shelter of Maya. And that's what's called compromise. We're not acting for Krishna's pleasure all the time. So individually, as a movement also, unless we have a war against Maya, we're going to be compromised by Maya. If we think that, let us go along with modern society and its terms and conditions, that means we capitulated, because this whole modern society, it's so bad. If we understand what is pure devotional service and we understand what modern society does to people and how much it messes people up and makes people in their consciousness into that of demons. The whole goal of life is sense gratification, and not even in a pious way. And modern society is so bad. So if we make a compromise with that, or if we say that let us work according to the rules of the, then we lost. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada, he went to the West and he made some necessary concessions. For instance, he founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a legal entity within the legal structure of the United States of America. So that some kind of compromise is required to even live or operate in this world. And there's no one, there's... You try to find the most pure Vedic Brahmana. There's none of them who is not possible to live in the modern world without making some kind of compromise to it. You can't do it. It's not possible. And even if you don't want it, then you're polluted by the air. You may think, well, we're in the jungle somewhere, but the pollution goes everywhere. It doesn't. You're in the jungle. I saw something, Maldives Islands, all the air is polluted. where there's no factories there. It all comes through. The air from India comes and it's all polluted over there, way out in the sea. So we may think, Abba Karamandarai, the land is, the air is very pure, but the Chennai factories aren't so far away. Or even if we'll only take well water from underground, but that well water is also polluted by chemicals. It's impossible to be completely free. But the on principle, we should understand that this modern society is demonic, and that Srila Prabhupada's mission is to give an alternative, and that's based on Shastra, the Janataga Viplavaha, preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to make a revolution in the misguided lives of a sinful population. So if we accept the education, the values of modern society, then we may say, well, in future, we see, first we'll make friends with them, but then gradually we'll introduce our ideas. But we already came to their platform. We made a compromise on their terms. We surrendered. To give their education means their values. And then we're training children to become a part of that society, in which education makes you a mindless slave, a cog in someone else's machine, meant for a disposable cog in someone else's machine. Meant for, education is meant so that you can work for someone else, for their benefit. It's not vanashram, means it's supposed to be for mutual benefit. But even the Vaishya, we think in modern days, we think a Vaishya is someone who gets business and cheats others, but a Vaishya is supposed to produce and then give grains to others. That's his duty, to give grains to others. He's not just that he amasses wealth for himself. This devotional service is a declaration of war, and we should realize how strong the enemy is, and it's very difficult to overcome, no doubt. It's just like if some country is conquered, then the people, they may become very submissive to the conquerors. Just like Manidhar Prabhu told me when he was as a child in Prague, the capital of Czechoslovakia, when the Russian tanks rolled in, there was protest, but the protest didn't last very long. Because after that, there was iron control, and everyone cooperated. And they would be careful even not to be impolite to the Russians. Why? Out of fear. And even in their mind, they wouldn't want to cultivate an inimical attitude toward the Russian, because it's too dangerous. Because if you develop that attitude, then you might get upset with them and go and shoot one of them, and then they'll destroy a whole village. If you kill one Russian, then they'll destroy. That's the usual tactics of conquerors. The Nazis would do that also in France or wherever. Anyone killed a German soldier, then in retaliation, they'd kill 1,000 people. So you don't do. No, they'll be warned. Don't do that again. They're in total control. There's a story of Stalin. He demonstrating how to make the people submissive. He took one chicken, held it in one hand, with the other hand pulled all the feathers out while the chicken's alive, and then put it down on the floor. And the chicken came around his legs, didn't run away, because the chicken understood that my life is in the hands of this person. There's no running away, I'm completely at their mercy. So our attitude is to do that with Krishna. But if we're not finding Krishna, we don't have that faith in Krishna, then we'll do that with, as dependent living beings, we'll do that with the demons. We'll take shelter of their, yes, your education system is very good. We also have Cambridge education, you see. We're being very good. Now you leave us alone. You see, if we cooperate with them, then they'll leave us alone. But cooperate with them means that we sell out to them on their terms and conditions. We're not making war against them. So to maintain a war, it's very difficult. It's easier to be at peace, but at what expense? Expense that you remain in Maya. It's more... it's easier to be compromised, but then there's no war. And then we don't get the result. The war means if we take up the war, then we must be successful, ultimately, because Krishna's on our side. Even if it appears that we can't be successful because modern society is so powerful, so overwhelming, but then Krishna's more powerful. But if we don't have the faith or the determination, then we just think, oh, anyway, okay, let's have the education and train our... Let our children watch TV, and we'll also watch TV. And anyway, we'll chant Hare Krishna. But it's not the same. It's a declaration of our submission to that which we should not submit to. We should submit to Krishna. It may not be easy to be a devotee. But if we're not a devotee, then... If we're not submissive to Krishna, then we're submissive to Maya. We have to act in such a way that people will think we are normal. That is our failure, if people think we are normal. There's this idea that people should think we're normal. Then why? Then what do we have to give people? How can we preach if we're just the same as everyone else? And what have we got to give them? We can put on our ISKCON News websites the benefit of eating Brussels sprouts, one kind of vegetable. But there are already hundreds of websites with the benefits of Brussels sprouts, and we're not... And anyway, even if there were no other websites with the glories of Brussels sprouts, then it's not our business to promote the glories of Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprout is a kind of vegetable. You don't get it here. It came on the ISKCON News website. Health benefits of eating Brussels sprouts. There are worse things on that website. So, war. We should be at war. That means we have to be active. We have to consider. We talk about Vaishnava relationship. Actually, we don't. But it's all the time. Relationships come when we're at war. All the soldiers don't talk among themselves about relationships. They automatically come together on the platform of defeating the enemy. Even among themselves, there may be some heavy quarrels, but then they resolve it. We find in Mahabharata on both sides, there were heavy quarrels among some of the leading fighters, but they ultimately had to resolve it because they had to fight the enemy. And the quarrel didn't last long because they had to get back to fighting. We're at war, we should remember. We have serious service, serious work to do in Srila Prabhupada's service. Hare Krishna. Anyone want to say anything in this regard? Hare Krishna. That's what we can say.